Hello, brethren, and welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles 2018. This is a very special time of year when we will be fed for 8 straight days by the great God of this universe. And it's a time for fellowshipping, and it's a time for good food and lots of fun. But God also says something else, that it is a time for rejoicing before Him. And that's what it actually is. It is a time when we come and rejoice before the great God of this universe and His Son. So this is what we will be doing at this Feast of Tabernacles. So that will be the title today, Rejoicing Before God. Those of us in God's church are instructed to rejoice and to consider God's instructions. So we need to look at a few scriptures today about what God says to those in His church about coming before Him and rejoicing. So let's turn over to Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16. And it's where we have a reference to the seasons in a year that we are to come before God. And it's talking about the spring, the summer, and the fall season. And verses 1 through 8 speak about the spring season, talking about the Passover and days of unleavened bread. Verses 9 through 10 speak to the summer season, about the Feast of Weeks and what we call Pentecost. And then we come to the fall season. And starting in verse 11 is where we are at in time. And it talks about the Feast of Tabernacles, what we are picturing. And let's look at verse 11 and see what God said we are to do. God says, "You shall rejoice before the Eternal your God. You and your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, and the Levite that is within your gates. The stranger, the fatherless, the widow that are among you in the place which the Eternal your God has chosen to place His name there." And God has chosen Cincinnati to place His name as one of the feast sites. So at the Feast of Tabernacles, we come together to worship our God for 7 days. And then on the 8th day, we have a holy day. And we do as God commands. We rejoice because of our calling. And we rejoice because of the truths that God has revealed to you and me. And let's notice in verse 12 what God says we are to do. "You shall remember that you were a bondsman in Egypt." So this was speaking to ancient Israel, but today we understand that this has a far more significant meaning for you and me. Because once God calls us, we realize that we were a slave to sin prior to our calling. That's what we were. We were slaves to this world, Satan's world, the system that he has created that has been created by that being. And it's a world that was inspired by the God of this age, the world that you and me live in, the world that we see. God says that we should remember how we lived in Satan's world before we were called. And we lived in his world, not knowing that we were captive until God opened our minds. So God says to you and me to remember what we were called out of. And let's continue on. "And you shall observe and do these statutes." And let's notice what God said we are to do. "You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after you have gathered in your corn and your wine." And that's what we're in the midst of doing. We are here to observe the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days. And in verse 14 it says, "You shall rejoice in your feast." So over and over again, God tells us through these scriptures that you and me are to rejoice before Him at His feast. We are to rejoice in your feast, you, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, and the Levite, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are within your gates. So in verse 15, we find that God tells us the amount of time that we are to be here celebrating His feast. 7 days you shall keep a solemn feast unto the Eternal your God, in the place which the Eternal shall choose. So that's why we are in Cincinnati, keeping this feast. This is the place that God has placed His name. And the rest of this verse says, because the Eternal your God shall bless you in all your increase, in all the works of your hands, therefore you shall truly rejoice. So we save our second tithes, and we come to God's Feast of Tabernacles, those that are able. But God has made a way for those that are not able for health reasons or other reasons through the technology that we have today, so that everyone can come before Him in worship and rejoice before Him at His feast. And in verse 16 it says, three times in a year, or better said, three seasons. And we understand that all that God has called before Him in the place which He shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles, and that is where we are at today, at God's Feast of Tabernacles. And we know that we are not to appear before the Eternal empty, before our God. Verse 17 tells us that everyone should give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Eternal your God, which He has given you. So we understand that this is a high day. We understand that this is a holy day. And we understand that we do give an offering to our God on this day. And there's a basket at the back of the hall today. And in the other sites, you just give as you are instructed. Or we always know that we can mail our offerings in. But it is a blessing to be able to keep the Feast of Tabernacles 2018. And we are blessed to be able to have sermons and be led and taught by our God. And we are to rejoice at this Feast of Tabernacles. So we can see what God has inspired to be written in His book. And we will hear the messages that He inspires through His servants. And God says we are to rejoice through what we hear at this Feast of Tabernacles. And in these verses that we just read, we cannot get through these verses without being reminded of what you and me are to do, those of us in God's church. And we are to rejoice and be thankful to the great God of this universe. God makes it clear that we are to keep this Feast of Tabernacles with rejoicing. We are to rejoice in our blessings from our God. And we are to do as God says. We are to consider our calling. Consider how we were called out of Satan's world. And remember where we were in this world when God opened our mind. And when we reflect on our calling, that's something that we can rejoice over, because God called us out of Satan's world and opened our mind to His plan. God chose us out of all of those in this world. And there have been billions upon billions, brethren. But God chose to call you, to mold you, to fashion you. And He gave us His Spirit so that He could do so, so that He could abide in us, so that He could dwell in, so that He can remain in us. God called us to a different way of life, according to His purpose and His plan. And we are to rejoice that God called you and me. And God has given us understanding of His plan. And we are to be thankful about that and about the calling that He has given you and me. And we should be thankful to have the opportunity to just be with one another, to fellowship with one another, with like minds at this Feast of Tabernacles. It's good to just sit and hear the stories of those that God has called, and to hear how God called each and every one up, each one that He has called, and how they have responded to God's calling. And it's something that you and me are to be thankful for. And if God had not called us, none of us would be here. We would still be in Satan's world. So that is something in itself just to rejoice about. That calling us out of that world. God called us so that He could abide in us, so that He could dwell in us. And we are to be so thankful for that calling. and is only by being called by the great God of this universe that we are able to come before Him and His Son, Joshua Christ, to keep His Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles pictures a 1,000-year reign when the kingdom of God will be here. The government of God. God's government upon this earth. And that government will begin to rule mankind. And it will do so for 1,000 plus 100 years. And that gives you and me something to rejoice over for that understanding that God has given us about His plan. Mankind will begin to have peace, peace that God gave up so long ago. But that peace will begin to be restored. And that's much of what this Feast of Tabernacles is about. And this millennium pictures that time of peace that will begin to be restored. God says that He will bring peace to mankind once again. And God gives us understanding about the purpose that He has through His plan to bring that peace to man. And we should rejoice when we understand what God is doing, that He is building His family, Elohim. And that family will enjoy peace forever, peace for an eternity. And we cannot comprehend such a time. But God says that He will bring it about. And that's something to be thankful for, that peace that God says that He will bring to man. It's something to rejoice because of the understanding that you have, that God has afforded you and me to have. And that's the only way that we have this understanding, because God opened our mind and gave us the understanding of His purpose and the calling that you and me have. Let's turn over to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 is where we find all of God's holy days. And this is where we also find about the Feast of Tabernacles and the time of year that we are to come before God and keep His feast. Leviticus 23, and let's look at verse 33. The Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel. The 15th day of the 7th month shall be a Feast of Tabernacles." And God tells us for how many days? For 7 days unto the eternal. The first day will be a holy convocation, which means a holy day or high day. And you shall do no servile work therein. So God tells us that we are not to work on His holy days. And He says, 7 days shall you offer an offering made by fire unto the eternal. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation. So we understand it's another feast day, the last great day. God says that it is a holy convocation. And He says, you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the eternal. It is a solemn assembly. You shall do no servile work therein. So this was given to ancient Israel, but today we come before Him giving our offerings on the first holy day and the last holy day. So God tells us here about the time of year, and He tells us of the instructions of not doing any work on His holy days. Verse 37 tells us that these are the feast of the eternal. These are God's feast. These are His appointed times, which you shall proclaim to be, let's notice, holy convocations. And let's drop down to verse 39. And in the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered the fruit of the land, you will keep a feast of the eternal 7 days. And the first shall be a Sabbath, and the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And you shall take you on the first day boughs, let's notice what they were told to do, of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of thick trees, willows of the brook, and let's notice what they were instructed to do. You shall rejoice before the eternal your God 7 days. So we can see this message is about rejoicing during the Feast of Tabernacles. It's much about also being thankful to the great God of this universe for what He is doing and what He is about to do upon this earth. We are always to be thankful that we are able to come before our God at this Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 41, "And you shall keep a feast unto the Eternal 7 days in the year, and it shall be a statute," let's notice, "forever in your generations, and you shall celebrate it in the seventh month." So that's what we are doing. We are here celebrating in the seventh month God's Feast of Tabernacles. In verse 42 we find, "You will dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelite borns will dwell in booths, and you shall dwell in booths," let's notice, "which is a temporary dwelling." And we understand that. And there's much more meaning to this temporary dwelling than we read here. But that has been given through many sermons about this temporary dwellings that you and me are in. And it has much more significance than what we will discuss here today. And let's continue on. "That your generations may know I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Eternal, your God." And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the Feast of the Eternal. So it's a time that you and me are to rejoice. And it's a time to be thankful for the calling that God has given you and me. He opened our mind. He given us His Spirit so that we may understand this plan that He has for mankind. And we should be thankful and rejoice in that understanding that He has given to each one of us. Let's go over to Nehemiah 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. It's kind of hard to find. But let's go over to Nehemiah 8 and let's look at an account that took place a long time ago. If I can find it. Okay. Nehemiah 8 and verse 1 is where we'll start. And it says, but before we get started, you know, when they had been in captivity, this is the time that they were coming out of captivity. And they began to recognize some truths that had been given to ancient Israels. So I can relate to this very well because of what happened to them. Because we live through the apostasy. And there was a famine of the truth for some time after that apostasy. So I remember well when we began to hear the truths of God once again. And it was a joyful time just to hear the truths of God being spoken about once again. So I can relate to how these felt during Nehemiah's time. So we will read about this account. "And it brought them to tears when they began to understand the truths of God, when their minds were given just some understanding about what God required of them." And you and me have been given so much understanding about the plan of God. And we have been given so much understanding of the truths of God. So let's think about this as we go through these verses about what you and me have been given. Like I say, we live through the apostasy. So we can really understand how those of Nehemiah's day felt. And I can only imagine when the people of this earth begin to hear the truths of God after what this earth is about to go through. We know through the scriptures what is coming upon this earth. And after these horrible events happen upon this earth, I think some will be brought to tears just like they were in Nehemiah's day when they begin to hear why this has happened and when their minds is now being opened to the truths of God. So let's look at Nehemiah 8 and verse 1 and see what took place. "All the people gathered together as one man." So what this is saying is they gathered together in a group just like we do. And it says, in the street that was before the water gate, they spoke unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Eternal had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the high priest brought the law before the congregation of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. So they were being given understanding of what Ezra was going to read. In verse 3 it says, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning unto midday, before the men and women, the same as you and me do today at God's Feast of Tabernacles. And those that could understand, and let's notice, the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. In verse 4, we see that he stood upon a pulpit of wood. So it's very much like we do today when we give the sermons to God's people. So it's a very similar situation that they were in. And he was standing upon that pulpit of wood so that the people could hear what he was saying. And verse 5 says, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. So this is speaking about that he was standing on that wooden platform that they had built. And when he opened it, talking about the book, the people stood up, and let's notice, Ezra blessed the Eternal, the great God. And that's very much what we do. We always have a prayer before our services, and that we do bless the great God of this universe. And let's notice what took place. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, saying, It is so. That's what it means. Lifting their hands, and they bowed their heads, and let's notice, worship the Eternal with their faces to the ground. Very much like what we do today during a prayer. We bow our heads and pray to the great God of this universe and His Son. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly. And let's notice, gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Just like you and me, when God called us and gave us His Spirit, and it helped us to understand the meaning behind of God's words. And it says, Nehemiah and Tishatha and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Eternal your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. It brought them to tears. And it was tears of joy, not tears because they were sad. It was tears of rejoicing because understanding was given. And when the Eternal God sends His Son, I'm sure that there will be many that will be brought to tears because of what they have just lived through, especially when they hear the truth of what has taken place and why it has taken place. And when they begin to understand God's plan, and when understanding begins to be given to them so that they can understand it. These in Nehemiah's day realized that they had heard the truth, and it brought them to tears, brethren, tears of rejoicing. And some of us experience these emotions that I talked about early after the apostasy, when we were able to hear those truths once again. Nehemiah's day, they had been in famine for quite a while, and they had not heard much about God's truths, God's laws. And it was the same after the apostasy. We were in a famine of the truth. So those emotions came up just like they did in Nehemiah's day to some of us that lived through that apostasy. And that was a rejoiceful time when we came together as God's church once again. And then we could hear God's words expounded upon once again. And this will be the way that it is during the millennium, after they hear the truths of God, when they begin to repent and turn to God in His ways. And it will bring tears of joy to some, and they will begin to rejoice, just as we read here about those in Nehemiah's day. Verse 10 it says, "And they said unto them," let's notice what they were told to do. And this is what we're going to do also. "We're going to eat the good food. We're going to fellowship and eat together at some of the best restaurants." And this is what they were told to do. Just as we are told to do this very thing. "Rejoice and eat and drink." So they were told to go, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to them whom nothing was prepared. For this day is holy unto our God. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the eternal is your strength. And that's something that you and me need to think about. The joy of the eternal is your strength. And we should be thankful, because that is where our strength comes from the great God of this universe, by opening our mind and giving us understanding of what He has in store for mankind. And we should rejoice because of that very thing, of God revealing His plan for man to you and me. In verse 12, "And all the people went their way," let's notice, "to eat, to drink." And that's what we're going to do at this Feast of Tabernacles. We're going to eat, we're going to drink, and we're going to have a good time. And that's what they were told to do. And they were sending their portions, and let's notice, "make great mirth," because, let's notice why, "they had understood the words that were declared unto them." They rejoiced, brethren, because they understood God's words. And that's why you and me should rejoice, because we understand what is written in this book. Verse 14, "they found written in the law which the Eternal had commanded through Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish or proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth into the mount, fetch olive branches, pine branches, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written." So when they found out what they were supposed to do, that they were supposed to make booths, they went out and built those booths. And they were excited. And they were rejoicing. And they were happy because of the understanding that they were given from the great God of this universe about what they were to do. And we are to rejoice because of the understanding that God has given to each and every one of us. And we are to be thankful because of the understanding that He has given us. We realize that it is only by God opening our minds and giving us His Spirit that we can understand His plan for man. And we need to be thankful for what God has allowed you and me to see. And we should reflect upon that at this Feast of Tabernacles. It's what God says we should do. Reflect back upon our calling. Reflect back upon what God called us out of, Satan's world. And God has allowed you and me to see His plan and what we will be celebrating at this Feast of Tabernacles, God's plan during the millennium. So the people went forth and made themselves booths, everyone upon the roof of his house, in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street at the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And it says in verse 17, "All the congregation of them that were come again out of captivity made booths and sat under them." And let's notice how long it had been. There had been a famine of hearing the book of the law for a long time. "For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that day, had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness." They were happy, and they were rejoiceful to hear these words once again. And in verse 18, "Day by day, from the first day to the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly, according to the manner." And it's just like you and me. We have been given so much knowledge, so much understanding, and we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be rejoicing about at this Feast of Tabernacles. Let's turn over to Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. And it's when Christ was speaking in parables. And we know this parable. But we have really been given understanding of this parable and what it really means. And Christ often spoke in parables to his disciples. So let's read through this account and see what it says. The same day went Christ out of the house and sat by the seaside. And the great multitude were gathered together unto him. So they wanted to hear what he had to say. And it says there was a great multitude present. So he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood upon the shore. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, let's notice, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Others fell onto good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And let's notice, who has ears to hear, let him hear. We have seen so many come and go in God's church. My wife and I know there's probably thousands now that we have seen come and go. Even in God's church, at our time in God's church. I can only imagine down through time how many God has called that has not heeded his calling. Verse 10 it says, and let's notice, disciples came and said unto them, Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, Because it is given to you to know the mysteries. Let's notice, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. And that's why they cannot understand to this day, because God has opened your mind and given you understanding of His words to understand those mysteries. And it is a mystery to the world. They have no idea about the plan of God and what He is about to do for mankind. They couldn't understand because they had not been called by God. And so this book is a mystery until God opens the mind, until God calls one. And then they repent, and then they are forgiven of their sins, baptized, and receive God's Holy Spirit. Only then can one begin to understand what is written in this book. And that's why they were asking. That's the question they asked. Why do you speak in parables? And he said to them, Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but not unto them. For whoever has to him, it should be given, and he shall have more abundance. And we do. Once God calls us and gives us his Holy Spirit, he gives us more understanding. Week by week, holy day by holy day, year by year. You have so much understanding, brethren, so much more than those in Nehemiah's day. But let's notice, but whoever has not, from him shall be taken away even what he has. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they see not, and hear, and they hear not, neither do they understand. Because it was not their time, brethren. God has a plan, and he does the calling. And it says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Elijah that says, Hear and you shall hear and shall not understand, and see and you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart has wax gross, and their ears full of dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their minds, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So blessed are your eyes, and they are, for you see, and your ears, for you hear. For verily I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Many prophets were before the days of Christ, and they did not hear the words of Christ. And you have so much more knowledge, you have so much more understanding than those of old. Understanding was given so quick around 2008, brethren. It took my wife and I several years to come into the church, and God just opened mind in 2008, and so many were given so much knowledge and so much understanding so fast. And you have so much understanding, and I know that those that were called around 2008 have no idea how much they were blessed. But it says, blessed are your eyes, for you see. And you are blessed because of the understanding that God gave to you when He called you and opened your mind. We understand because God called us. That's why. And gave us understanding. And that's the only reason that we can understand these words in this book. The 6,000 years of man doing his own thing is coming to an end in just a short while. And to understand these words in this book, and the words that you hear Sabbath by Sabbath, holy day by holy day, is a mighty blessing from the great God. And yet I hope you understand you have more understanding than any of those back in time. I hope you understand what you have been offered. Even the disciples wanted to know when Christ would return as King of Kings. They wanted to know when the kingdom of God would be established. And when you take time and reflect back on our calling, the things that have been given to you and me, the things that we should be thankful for, the things that we should rejoice about. And this is the time that God says that we are to reflect upon those things. We are to reflect upon our calling and how we were led out of captivity of Satan's world and opened our mind to sin. God has allowed you and me to have so much understanding about that captivity that we were in. And hopefully everyone is thankful for what God has done to allow each and every one that He has called to understand. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 23. It's talking about the time of the feast. And it says, let's notice what was written. Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 23. You shall eat during the feast. And we do that. We probably eat too much. I know I do. You shall eat before the Eternal your God. And it's not all about eating physical food. I hope everyone understands that we come before the presence of God when we are at the Feast of Tabernacles. And He feeds us through the sermons. And He feeds our minds. And He feeds us spiritually. And He feeds us in the place that He has chosen here in Cincinnati, Ohio. That's where He chose to place His name. And we are to come before God, and He will feed us spiritually during this Feast of Tabernacles. He pours out His Spirit more during this time of the year than any other time. And this is where He has chose to feed you and me this year, 2018, at the Feast of Tabernacles. And when we think about dwelling in booths, and when we understand where God's Spirit resides, that it abides and dwells in you and me, those that have been baptized and received God's Spirit, We begin to understand the purpose of God in what He is doing, what He is building. He is building His spiritual temple. And it is at this feast that we come before Him to be fed spiritually. We know that we will be fed physically, those of us who have partaken of the feast in the past. We understand about being fed physically. But this feast is about being fed spiritually. And I hope all understand the parallels that we will find in God's book. I hope we understand that the great God of this universe has sent to at the end of this age to deliver His people into a wonderful time upon this earth that we are looking at today. A time when Joshua Christ will be here to rule. And just as God dealt with back in Pharaoh's time, God will deal with Satan at the end of this age, once again, as this age comes to a close. He dealt with Satan back in Pharaoh's time, and He will deal with Satan again as this age comes to a close and another age begins. And they are too on the scene that the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent to us for deliverance into the millennial reign of Joshua Christ upon this earth. Should bring you to your knees to understand where we are in time. And this is something in itself to rejoice in, just knowing what is taking place upon this earth and what will take place upon this earth. Let's turn over to Revelation 19 and let's pick up the account there. Revelation chapter 19. Satan has really built his system upon this earth. But God gives you and me a preview. He paints us a picture through time, and He gives us a preview of what will take place in the future. In Revelation 19 and verse 3, let's pick up the account and see what God inspired John to write. Again, they said, "Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and ever." This is speaking about the end time system that Satan has built upon this earth, Satan's system. And we understand what is being said through these words. We have that understanding about this system. And they said, "Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and ever." In other words, his system will come to an end. And the 24 elders, let's notice what's taking place. "And the four living beings fell down and worshiped God, who sat upon the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you His servants, and those who fear Him, both small and great." And in verse 6 we read, "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of many thundering, saying," let's notice, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." So we see the time frame. It is the time when Satan's system comes to an end, and it says the great God of this universe will reign from here on out. Let's notice what's said in verse 7. "Let us be glad and rejoice." And that's what we are to do at this Feast of Tabernacles. Rejoice, because we know that our God will take charge. He will take charge and rule this earth. And He will reign over this earth. And it is only a short time now. And that's a mighty reason for you and me to rejoice, because of this understanding that we have of God's plan in this book. Verse 7 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come." So this is telling us of a time that we, the Church of God, have waited for so long a time. His wife has made herself ready. So we can see why this is a happy time, because the Church of God has made herself ready. And it tells us about a time when the great God of this universe will send His Son, Joshua Christ, to take charge of this earth. and to rule it with righteousness and with righteous judgment. Finally, man can have righteous judgment. Revelation 20 tells us about another reason why we should rejoice. And we know this account by heart. But Revelation 20 tells us about a time when Satan will be put in his prison. And he will be held in that prison for 1,000 years. God calls it a bottomless pit where he will put that being. And he will stay there during this millennial reign of Joshua Christ upon this earth. And he will not be able to deceive man anymore until his time is up in that prison. We know that that will be for 1,000 years before he will be released again. So that is a time of rejoicing for you and me to know that that being will be put in his prison and he will not be able to influence the mind of man anymore for 1,000 years. Revelation 20 in verse 4 tells us about what takes place. And I saw thrones, verse 4, and they sat upon them. And let's notice what took place. Judgment was given to them. Judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been cut off. I know some translations say beheaded, but this simply means cut off. And they were cut off for their witness to Christ and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received the mark on their foreheads or in their hands. And they'd lived, let's notice, they'd lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Let's drop down to verse 6. It's what God says. Blessed and holy. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, because they are now spirit beings, brethren. They have eternal life. And let's notice. They shall be priests of God. Their job description. They shall be priests of God and Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. So this is why we should rejoice at this feast. It's a time when the great God of this universe will take charge of this earth and begin to reign. He will begin to set up his government upon this earth. And it's a reason to really rejoice. Let's turn over to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And it's scriptures that we're familiar with. But it's about this time that you and me are here celebrating. And it tells us in Daniel 2 and verse 28 about how Daniel was given the ability to interpret dreams, as we know the story. And in Daniel verse 28 we find the time frame and what was taking place. And it's when Daniel was going before King Nebuchadnezzar to interpret the dream. And to look back at what Daniel had to do in his time upon this earth, I cannot imagine doing what Daniel had to do. It's not like we live today in America. One word from the king and your head was removed. So that was the power that this king had over Daniel. And we know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how God intervened for them. But that king had much power. He had enough power to put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fiery furnace. But we know the story that God intervened for them. And here Daniel was going before King Nebuchadnezzar to interpret the dream. But this is the kind of power that that king had. And Daniel was having to deal with this king. And I cannot imagine having to do such a thing. Verse 28 tells us that there is a God in heaven, what Daniel was telling him, who reveals secrets. And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days, the time that you and me live in. And Daniel goes ahead and describes this image. And in verse 32, let's pick up the story. This image's head was of fine gold, the chest and arms of silver, belly and thighs of bronze, legs of iron, feet of partly iron and partly clay. So we understand that this is a description of what was to take place through time. God has given you that understanding. And it's about the time when the last kingdoms would be upon the face of this earth. So we know about those 10 that will come together at the end. And all we have to do is look on the horizon and look at what is taking place before our very eyes. All the pieces are in place, brethren. We know that this will be a fragile union to do what they do. They just have a short space in time to do what they will do. And they will just come together for that period of time. And let's notice what verse 34 tells us. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands. We have understanding of this. We know that this is speaking about Joshua Christ, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff on the summer threshing floor. The wind carried them away, let's notice, so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. It paints you and me a picture about what will take place in our future. Joshua Christ will come to this earth, and he will set up the kingdom of God upon this earth. And it's a time when God's Spirit will be upon the whole earth, and all of mankind will begin to hear the way of peace, to hear about the great God of this universe and who he is, and to hear his truth. And they will now hear about the correct way to live their life. When it says that great mountain filled the whole earth, we know about the mustard seed. And we cannot comprehend such a time when that mustard seed would grow. That's the analogy that God gave. And eventually it will fill the whole earth. And that's what this is telling us, that that will start at the millennial reign of Joshua Christ upon this earth. And down in verse 44 we find, Daniel 2 and verse 44. In the days of these kings, let's notice, because that's where you and me are at in time. We live at this time. And the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom will not be left to other people. It will break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. Just what we were talking about, that mustard seed. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. So it paints us a picture of what God is doing. It's a picture of when he begins to set up the kingdom of God upon this earth. And let's notice, it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. Let's notice, the dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. And over a few pages, in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9, we'll pick up the story flow. And this is just like we saw in the book of Revelation that we just read, where John was inspired to write about those thrones that would be set up. And this is about thrones being set up that Daniel was shown a long, long time ago. And this is what Daniel was shown in verse 9. I watched till thrones were put in place. It's what Daniel saw. And the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth before him. And let's notice, 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. Verse 11. I watched them because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain. and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. And for the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions. God had it written this way. And we know and understand that this is about the return of God's Son to this earth. Let's notice. Behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And let's see what was written in verse 14. Then to him was given dominion, glory, and he was given a kingdom, that all people, all nations, all languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Joshua Christ is coming to take over all the governments of this world, brother, all the kingdoms of this world. There will be one government set up upon this earth, and this is that time that we are picturing here at this Feast of Tabernacles, that time. Verse 27, then the kingdom, dominion, and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven, let's notice, shall be given to the people, let's notice to whom it will be given, the saints of the Most High. Just like we read back when John was inspired to write in the book of Revelation about those thrones being set up. And here we find the same thing that Daniel was shown such a long time ago. And all dominions will serve and obey him. So that's why we rejoice. Because we know that Joshua Christ will come and set up God's government upon this earth. So that will be a rejoicing for all of mankind that want what God will offer them. It will bring about peace, finally. Peace that God gave up such a long time ago. And the millennium is much about peace. God restoring peace again. God gave it up. God says that he will restore peace once again. And this is that beginning. And the truth will be taught. And people will begin to be brought to tears once again. Those that begin to have understanding. Just like in Nehemiah's day when they began to understand. God will begin to pour out his spirit to man. And they will begin to understand. And they will be able to understand how much Satan has wreaked havoc upon this earth. How much that he has deceived mankind. They will be given that understanding. Let's turn over to Psalms 46. Psalms 46. And let's see what was inspired to be written. Daniel wrote a lot in God's book. And we know that he wrote the Psalms. But before we get there, we understand that John made a statement about living waters. And John said that living waters will begin to flow after Joshua Christ returns to this earth. And we understand that that living waters was a spiritual meaning that you and me understand what was being said. That living waters that will flow out from Jerusalem. We understand that healing will take place spiritually upon this earth. When God sets up his kingdom. And it will be a time when truth will be taught. And people will begin to be given understanding. And in the book of Psalms, chapter 46, God tells us through David that he shall be yet like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It's the way that God explains things through the Psalms. And it's kind of like poetry that was written. And David wrote these songs that many of us that were in God's church a long time ago that came through the years before the apostasy, we sang many of these psalms that David wrote. But David wrote that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does will prosper. So when we read through these scriptures and understand that healing will take place upon this earth, we understand first and foremost that it's about a spiritual healing that will begin for man. In verse 4, we find that David wrote, "There is a river whose streams," let's notice, "will make glad the city of God." So this is how it's pictured in God's book. The holy place, let's notice, of the tabernacle of the Most High. Speaking about God's dwelling place. We know by the scriptures that there will be living waters flowing out of Jerusalem to heal what Satan has destroyed. That's how God pictures it in his book. That's the picture that is painted for those that he has called at this end time. And when we understand about Jerusalem, we understand that it is the city of peace that is coming to this earth. Peace that God will bring to this earth once again. Peace that he gave up a long, long time ago. And it's called the New Jerusalem. And we understand verse 5 and how it is said in verse 5. It says, "God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her just at the break of dawn." So we understand that the eternal God of this universe is building his family. And that's where we are in time. We are at the dawn of a new day. It's a good way of saying it. We are at the dawn of the millennial reign of Joshua Christ becoming a reality. That's where we're at. Verse 6, let's notice what took place. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. We know that the earth don't melt. What this is speaking about, this is speaking about a time when God will take over all the nations of this earth and all the kingdoms of this earth. Verse 7, let's notice, the Eternal of Hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Salah means to think about it. There will be some awesome things happening upon this earth that your eyes will see, those that live until the end. Those that are changed will see some awesome things. Those that live until the millennial reign of our God, they will see the works of God. And they will see the changes take place upon this earth. And that is what this Feast of Tabernacles is about. It's about this transition in time. And I cannot imagine living at any better time in God's plan to see this transition in time take place. To see Joshua Christ coming back in those clouds. To see the kingdom of God set up upon this earth. There is no better time to live than now, brother. At the end of this age, to see these things unfold before your very eyes. Let's notice what takes place in this transition in time. Verse 9. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. War will be taken away from mankind. Man will not be given the ability to make war anymore. God tells us, let's notice, he breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. That's how it's said in God's book. We know that it's to bring about peace. We know that it's about to stop man from destroying each other and from destroying the earth. When we look at man down through 6,000 years, all they have done over and over, build up, tear down, build up, tear down. God says that will not take place anymore. No more wars upon this earth. It's over. They will not be allowed to destroy this earth anymore. He says, he burns the chariots in the fire, talking about the war machinery that is used to make war. And it begins to picture a time of peace. Peace that God says that he will restore once again. And Joshua Christ will be here to begin that peace process. Verse 10 tells us, to be still and know that I am God. I will be, let's notice, I will be exalted among the nations. It's what God says. And it's that time that we are here picturing, the Feast of Tabernacles. And it is a time when Joshua Christ will be here upon this earth among men. And God will be exalted upon this earth. We know that Satan will be restrained for that 1,000 years. We know that he will not be able to influence mankind anymore. And this, can you imagine what this in itself will bring about upon this earth? Just that one thing, with Satan being restricted. And then again, for the next thing, for war never to be able, for man to never have war again upon this earth. Can you imagine what this earth will look like after 1,000 years of no influence of Satan? No more wars from man. Can you imagine the beauty that will be there when man can't tear down and man can't build up as he did for 6,000 years? Can only build up for that 1,000 years. Can your mind comprehend any of that? That is a good thing to rejoice about, just knowing those very things. What that will produce at the end of that 1,000 years of Joshua Christ reigning upon this earth. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. And it's where God tells us about himself. God tells us who he is. Isaiah 45 and verse 5. God says in his book, I am the eternal, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. So it tells us about a time when mankind will begin to know who their God is and who Joshua Christ is. And just knowing his true name is the beginning, that his name is Joshua. And it's the millennium. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. Just like you and me are here celebrating. And I cannot imagine that Feast of Tabernacles when Joshua Christ will be here at that first Feast of Tabernacles. I cannot comprehend that. But I know that that will be a rejoiceful time. God says that it will be from the rising to the setting of the sun. And he says, I am the eternal and there is no other. And the people of this earth will begin to know who God is. They will begin to know that there is only one God. And that he is the eternal God of this universe. And there is no other. Let's notice what he does. I form the light and create darkness. And let's notice, it's the only way it can be done. I make peace. It's what God says. And it is only the great God of this universe that can bring peace to man. And he has given you understanding of how it will come about. He has painted that picture in your mind. And that is such a blessing just to know that very thing. He says, I, the eternal, do all these things. Let's notice verse 8. Conditions that will be created during the millennial reign upon this earth. And it will be like waters that cover the sea. That's how it's said in God's book. In verse 8, let's notice how it's said. Let's notice how God had explained in his book. Rain down, you heavens from above. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. It's a different time upon this earth. It's a different age. When the great God begins to reign upon this earth. Let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. And we understand this is not about the earth opening up. We understand it's about what takes place through spiritual understanding that will be given. It says, let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let's notice what it's about. Let them bring forth salvation. That's what it's about. Let righteousness spring up together. And let's notice, I, the eternal, have created it. It's what God will create. It's the time of our God. It's the millennial reign upon this earth. Man has had his 6,000 years, but this is the time. It's God's time. And God will take charge and rule this earth. And it is the time that living waters, the way that it's said in God's book, will go out from Jerusalem, the city of peace. That's how it's pictured. That living water's flowing out from that city. And it's like righteousness being rained down upon the people. That's the picture that is painted for you and me. There's never been a time like this, brethren. Can you imagine the rejoicing that this will create? I think it's beyond our wildest imagination when we see this take place. I know that all of God's people will be rejoicing when they see this thing take place. They see that living waters flow out from that new Jerusalem. Man does not know the way to peace. He's had 6,000 years of failure. Only God knows it, as we just read. He's the only one that can bring this peace back. Peace that he gave up a long time ago. And God is creating conditions for peace upon this earth. And the Feast of Tabernacles pictures this time that he is creating this earth for a time of peace, for that peace to be restored. The return of Joshua Christ, we don't think about this a lot. But when we read through this book, all those prophets that we read about will be here upon this earth. And that's not something that we reflect on a lot. But all of them will be here. And we can speak to those people that are resurrected. Mr. Armstrong, Daniel, that we've been reading about, John, Abraham, all the disciples, just to name a few, Gideon, all those that ran down that hill with those lamps, with what, 300 men against thousands. So all those, they can tell you how it was to run down that hill. And all those that God's church has been founded upon, the foundation that God tells us about, the apostles and prophets, they will be here. And you can hear firsthand about how it was in the time that they lived in. You can hear about Daniel and how it was to go before that king. You can hear the stories from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that was put in that burning furnace. And they can tell you their experience while they were walking down that plank to go into that fiery furnace. So you think you've got it tough? When we read about some of these old, our lives is nothing compared to theirs. Isaiah 45 and verse 18. For thus says the Eternal, let's notice, who created the heavens. And I speak about this a lot. When we look out into that universe, when we look at that video about the powers of 10 and all the things that are out there in those heavens, God says he created all those things that we can see. And with the powerful telescopes we have today, we can look way out into that universe. And with that powers of 10, it really puts it into perspective of what God has created out there for a reason. And God says he created those heavens that we can see. And he said, who formed the earth and made it? So he tells us that he's the one that did all of this. He formed the earth. He made the earth. And he made all those things that we can see through those telescopes. God says he established it. God says that he did not create it in vain. Who formed it? Let's notice, to be inhabited. So actually, God is telling us that he had a plan from the beginning. He had a plan to inhabit this earth with mankind, with human beings. And God says that he did not create it in vain. God has a plan for man to create his family, to create Elohim. And God said that he did not do it in vain. He gave man 6,000 years to do his own thing, to create his own religions, to create his own governments. But God's time, he reserved for himself a 1,000-year reign upon this earth. to set up his kingdom upon this earth, to set up his governments upon this earth. God reserved that time for himself. And it will come to pass. The millennium, the 1,000-year reign of his son upon this earth, plus 100 years at the end. God says that it was not created in vain. God said that he had that plan. And let's look at Isaiah 45 and verse 18, the last part. I am the eternal, and there is no other. He's the one that did it all. Verse 19, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the eternal, let's notice, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. In verse 22, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. This has not happened yet, but it will in just a short time. We are to rejoice in that understanding about this very time. A time when all mankind will have the opportunity to live God's way. It's the only way that it can be done. But it's in God's time and in God's order. God had this plan from the beginning. And it's everything in its own order, including mankind. And at the time that God will call them. So this is what this is telling us about. And he says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. Let's notice that to me, every knee will bow. And this is that time, brethren, that we are picturing. This is the time that the great God of this universe will take charge and reign. And this is the time that every knee will begin to bow before the great God. This is that time, the Feast of Tabernacles. And it will take place. Can we imagine what this will begin to create when every knee bows, when every knee recognizes who the great God of this universe is, and their minds are being opened up to who he is? It will be a new world. It will be a new time. It will be a new age. It will be a transition in time for man. And it will be a time of rejoicing for mankind, for those that want to live the way God sets forth for them to live. And these are the conditions that will make it possible, the changes that our great God will make upon this earth, to make it possible for eventually for all of mankind to rejoice. We rejoice because God has given us a preview of what will take place. We can see it in our minds. We can see and imagine some of the conditions that will come upon this earth. There will be no temptation by Satan for 1,000 years. We understand that he has been the source of deception to man and the lies that have been spewed to man for 6,000 years. He will be removed. And that deception will not be here to influence mankind during the millennial reign of Joshua Christ upon this earth. And with Satan gone, and with the streams of living waters that we hear about in God's book, that living waters will be able to freely nourish those that thirst for this way of life. And it will create a time upon this earth that all of mankind can begin to rejoice in, the ones that want to live God's way. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17. And we'll see what Jeremiah was inspired to write. So with the demon world being restrained and put in their prison and the earth beginning to be healed, God's Spirit will begin to go out to all of mankind, be like that mustard seed, be like that stone that struck the image and it begins to fill the whole earth that God tells us about in his book. We can see that it will begin to produce peace once again upon this earth by these things taking place. And mankind will begin to be blessed. Some will begin to learn to trust their God. Truth will now be upon this earth, and man will begin to trust God. Especially after they realize what has taken place. All those that have been deceived. He is the God of this earth. He is the God of deception. And mankind has been deceived for 6,000 years. And now that deception will be taken away. The minds will be opened up. Can you imagine what that will do to man? Peace will begin to be restored to this earth. Jeremiah 17 and verse 7. Let's notice what God inspired Jeremiah to write. Blessed. Blessed is the man who trusts in the eternal, whose hope is the eternal. Let's notice. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, just like what David wrote. So it paints you and me a spiritual picture, brethren. And it's a spiritual analogy for those who live until the millennium. It's how it's pictured. It's like being a tree planted by the waters, where it is nourished, where it gets the nourishment that it needs, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, because it's rooted and grounded in the great God of this universe. It's grounded in truth, and it's a blessing, and it's picturing a time when mankind will be prosperous. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So it pictures a beautiful time upon this earth when man begins to trust God and when a man starts to understand God's plan and begins to produce fruit. That's what's being said. And they begin to obey God. They begin to keep the Sabbath. They begin to keep the holy days. They begin to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So God tells us in verse 12, a glorious high throne, let's notice, from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O eternal, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. And there's a plan for those at the end. Those who depart from me, let's notice, shall be written in the earth. We know the final judgment. We know about the second death. You have understanding of these words. God has opened your mind to this very thing. It says, because they have forsaken, the eternal, those fountains of living waters, because that's where it comes from, the living waters. He is the source. And it will go out from Jerusalem, from that city of peace that God is bringing to this earth in just a short time. The word Jerusalem, the very name means peace, city of peace. And we understand what that city of peace represents, that it is the spiritual temple that God is bringing to this earth. And that's what the spiritual waters that are pictured will flow out from, that city, those living waters. We can see this is the time when Joshua Christ returns to this earth and he will begin to take charge and reign. God says that eventually every tear will be wiped away. And here we find God making a move to set up his kingdom upon this earth. It's what the Feast of Tabernacles is about. And living waters will begin to flow. And the healing of the mind will begin to take place. Man will begin to be given understanding. And the healing of the earth that man has been destroying will begin. Like I said earlier, Satan will be chained in his prison. God's Spirit will now flow upon this earth. And it is just like we read in God's book. Righteousness will now rain down upon all the people of this earth. Let's turn over to the book of Psalms and go through a few. Book of Psalms. Psalms 97. God inspired David to write many psalms in this book. And the songs that we sing in God's church come from those songs that David wrote. Many of those songs that we sing is the Psalms of David. In Psalms 97, it's labeled as a song of praise to the great God. Psalms 97 in verse 1, let's notice what is being said in the time period that David is writing about. David says the eternal reigns. So that is the time frame. And let's notice what David said. Let the earth rejoice. We are told to rejoice at this Feast of Tabernacles. And here, David is writing many, many years ago about the time when God will reign this earth. And he says, when that takes place, he says, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And living waters will flow out. And righteousness and judgment will finally be upon this earth. Verse 3. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. In other words, what this is saying is God's law is now upon this earth. And Joshua Christ will now rule this earth with a rod of iron. His lightning is like the world. In other words, his understandings, his enlightenment, better said, light the whole world. Because God's Spirit is here. The man is given understanding. So the way it's written through David, his lightning is like the world. Illumination of God's words. Opening of the mind. That's what's being said. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax. Now, we know that the mountains don't melt like wax. We were given understanding about what this is speaking about. It's about Joshua Christ taking to come over all the mountains, the governments of this earth, the kingdoms of this earth. That's what's being said. And they will melt like wax before him. Those governments will. Those kingdoms will. At the presence of the great God of this universe, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. And that's who Joshua Christ is now. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. And it's that time that we are picturing here at this Feast of Tabernacles. Let's notice verse 7. Let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of idols. So it's a time when all the false religions of this earth will be done away with. Will not be allowed anymore. Verse 8. Zion hears and is glad. And the daughters of Judah, let's notice, rejoice because of your judgments, O Eternal. For you, Eternal, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. So it's when the whole earth begin to realize who the great God of this universe is and who Joshua Christ is and why he is here. And the peoples of this earth will begin to hear the truths of God. And it is just as in Nehemiah's day that we read about. There will be rejoicing. There will be tears when some begin to understand the truths of God. Because of what is on the horizon, brother, there is some horrible times in our future. Mankind is about to suffer mightily. Man is about to push those buttons. And those that come through that will want to understand what is going on. And they will want to hear why and what is taking place. So that it will be just like in Nehemiah's time once we get through that. There will be tears and there will be rejoicing to understand that God has a plan for man. And man will not be totally annihilated from the face of this earth. Verse 10. You who love the Eternal hate evil. He preserves, let's notice, the souls, the lives of his saints. Our lives are in God's hand. That's where they are. And he delivers delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for righteousness, gladness for the upright in heart. Let's notice, rejoice in the eternal, you righteous. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. And that's what you and me are to do. Give thanks at the remembrance of God's name. And one of the last truths that was given to God's church was about the name of His Son, Joshua Christ. And that brought us out of all the Trinity. And we are separate from anyone on the face of this earth, all the scattered groups out there. Let's turn to Psalms 98 and let's look at verse 1. Psalms 98. Let's see what else David wrote. We sing this song. We sing this song for many, many years in God's church. And it says, "Oh, sing to the Eternal a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand," let's notice, "and His arm have gained Him victory." Talking about the return of Joshua Christ to this earth. And it speaks about a time of victory. And now we are on God's time. God reserved this 1,000 years for Himself, for man. The Eternal has made known, let's notice, His salvation, His righteousness He has revealed in the sight, let's notice, of the nations. It's just like that mustard seed, brethren. It is this time at the return of Joshua Christ when the truth will go out around this earth. This is that time. And God says it will be revealed in the sight of all the nations. He has remembered His mercy and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. And they will. Joshua Christ has returned to this earth. Those that are alive, you will see the most awesome event that has ever taken place upon the face of this earth. Verse 4 tells us about what will take place. Shout joyfully to the Eternal, all the earth. Notice it's a time of joy. Rejoicing for all the earth. Break forth. Let's notice what's being said in song. Rejoice. Sing praises. Sing to the Eternal. With the harp, with the harp and the sound of a psalm. With trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Eternal, the King. So here we find what takes place. And we see a lot of rejoicing before the great God of this universe and His Son. It says, "Let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell in it." Let's notice verse 8. God has a unique way of inspiring things that were written, especially by David in his book. It's kind of like poetry that God wrote through David. And David wrote, I believe I'm in David, in Psalms, yes I am. "Let the rivers clap their hands." Now we understand that rivers do not clap their hands. We understand that the hills are not joyful. So we know what this is speaking about. It's speaking about the peoples of this earth. The nations, the governments, the cities, the multitudes of people. Speaking about being joyful together before the Eternal God of this universe. Verse 9. "For He is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness He shall judge the world and the peoples with equity." So it pictures a time. That's what's being painted, that picture for you and me. That even the physical waters in the earth, and it tells us about blessings that will be bestowed upon this earth. The earth will become, as some scriptures tell us, like the Garden of Eden. War and destruction will not be allowed anymore. God will not allow war anymore. And it's just like what we talked about earlier. At the end of that 1,000-year reign, with no more wars, Satan restrained for that 1,000 years. Can you imagine what this earth will look like? And that's some of what's being written by David here. So we can understand that this is talking about the earth will begin to be healed during the millennium. And the minds of the people will begin to be healed. And it will be done through the truths of God that will be taught for that 1,000 years during the millennium. Let's look at Psalms 100 and verse 1. And it's a song that we sing. And some of us will remember these words by heart because we sang this song for so many years. We used to sing 3 songs every Sabbath before the sermons. So we used to sing this song a lot through those years. And my wife and I pretty much know this by heart. And many that go back to the Worldwide Church of God, they have remembrance of this song also. God tells us to make a joyful shout to the eternal. I think the way it's written in the song, we make a joyful noise unto our God. All you lands, serve the eternal with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the eternal, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And that's what we are to do at this Feast of Tabernacle. We are to come before God with thanksgiving that he has allowed us to keep his feast. And let's notice, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. We will have a righteous king upon this earth to bring about peace in just a short while. Peace will begin for man. Peace that God gave up so long ago. God says that he will restore peace once again. Isaiah tells us, and you don't have to turn there, Isaiah tells us that the humble will increase their joy in the eternal. And Isaiah tells us that the poor among men will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. And he tells us a time when the terrible one will be brought to nothing. He tells us about a time when Satan will be removed for that 1,000 years. And he will eventually be brought to his fate, where he will not be able to ever deceive mankind anymore. Forever. Eventually. God said that there would be a time when mankind would beat their swords into plowshares. And there would be a time when they would beat their spears into pruning hooks. And he tells us of a time when nation will not lift up sword against nation anymore. And they will not learn war anymore. This is the time that we look so forward to. Those of us especially that have been in God's church a long, long time. We look forward when the kingdom of God will be established upon this earth. We understand that Joshua Christ will be here in just a short while. And all the things that we have just read about today will be here. And that is a wonderful reason for you and me to rejoice before our God. The things that we have read about in God's book today. About a different time, about a different world, about a different age. When God will be in charge. So brethren, rejoice in this feast and have an enjoyable Feast of Tabernacles.